You know, it's very much like the parable told of the frog that's placed in a pot of cold water on a stove. Heat is applied very slowly to the pot, and over time, the frog boils to death. Has that been happening to America? I'm Dr. Fred, and you're listening to another episode of Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
You know, there seems to be two types of changes that take place in society. And first, we have the change that's slow and incremental. It takes place over long periods of time. And this is the type of change that's not really noticed by most people until all of a sudden one day, the majority of people realize what has occurred. The other change we have is the change that literally overwhelms society, creating massive change seemingly overnight. Now, I believe both of these things have been brought to bear on society in the last four, five, six, possibly seven decades. Just a quick look at technology tells us how far and how fast we've come and where we're going to. And it wasn't really that long ago when things started making these huge changes. It was actually only back in the 1980s when personal computers, known as PCs, really came to the fore. Sure, they existed before that time, but they were not generally available to the public due to the excessive cost of them. Now, early in the 1980s, PCs became much more valuable, much more available as well, because components became a lot less expensive. In fact, many of these computers could be connected to a TV. It was just usually a keyboard with a place to put a slot to put a card or some other, you know, thing that programmed the computer, playing a game or something like that. They were connected to TVs. Games and accessories for them were fairly inexpensive because the quality of graphics was really just not there, certainly not what it is today. Now, over time, costs have increased for software, normally due to programming hours or labor, and while parts and accessories for computers themselves have declined. So all of a sudden, software has gotten very, very expensive, but the costs of computers, components, things like that, have really declined. But if we consider just how far computers have come in the space of 30, 40 years, it is really astounding. During the 1980s, I worked at Radio Shack, and the computers that we sold were then considered to be state-of-the-art. Games were pretty much text-based. And in order to play them, the game, usually it was on a cassette tape, was inserted into a tape player. The tape player itself was connected to the computer console, and the text was transferred from the cassette disc or tape to the computer. The information from the computer was usually saved on large 5 1/4 inch floppy disks, or if you had the money, they were saved on, you know, built-in hard drives. These were eventually replaced with the smaller 3 1/2 inch disks, which also held more information, and these were all but fully replaced with CDs and USB thumb drives not too many years later. For those of us who are familiar with history, we know how it's gone. The same thing happened with cell phones. The first ones that were commercially available and fairly affordable looked like household phones, the old kind from the 1950s and 60s. I recall buying one of these new cell phones as a Christmas present for my wife one year, and it came in a bag that resembled a large purse. The part of the phone that you listened to and spoke through was connected to the base of the cell phone via a coiled cord, just like the old phones. And if my memory serves, the cost of a call was, I think, 75 cents per minute at that time. So, we only used it when we really had to, and in the case of an emergency as well. Now, several decades later, here we are. Phones fit into our pockets or purses, and they're essentially mini computers with the ability to make phone calls. Most cell phone providers offer unlimited phone calls and texting for one monthly fee. The same technology has improved automobiles and many other things in society. These types of changes are remarkable. And it reminds me of Daniel 12, verse 4, where after Daniel is told to seal up the vision until the end times, he's told, quote, many will go back and forth and knowledge will increase, unquote. Now, the idea here is that people will be on a serious quest for knowledge. They won't be able to get enough. They'll run here and there trying to learn as much as possible. And while this may be referencing knowledge in the religious realm as well, it could also apply to areas of technology that continue to grow and change. The remarkable thing is that just when we think that technology can't go any further, something's created that allows just that to happen. I mean, we're left wondering, what change is going to take place next? What will the next greatest invention be for society? The example of speed, you know, with technology changes. I mean, think about how quickly it changes. And it pushes society in one direction or another. It's kind of easy to see and understand. Even if we fail to understand the exact technology itself, it takes place all around us, and we see the results and usage of that technology on a daily basis. We can't escape it. Even though the individual changes in society are often clearly seen, what is sometimes not seen as readily is the spiritual and even unintended results of those societal changes. Now, often, the types of changes I'm referring to, and we're going to explore this more as we go in further into this series, the types of changes I'm referring to resonate throughout society to create additional changes that were not necessarily intended when the first change took place. For instance, it can be argued that abortion has played a very key role in changing the way people think about life in general. It was first declared that by keeping abortion illegal, women were dying unnecessarily in what were termed back alley abortion clinics. These clandestine facilities were dirty, unsafe, generally dreaded. Making abortion legal, it was said, would mean that those who felt there was no other choice than to have an abortion would be safer during the procedure. Eventually, because of Norma L. McCorvey, who was pregnant with a third child at the time, the entire subject of abortion headed to the Supreme Court. The court ruled that abortion was a fundamental right. And from that time, 1973, through today, abortions have taken place in the United States on a daily basis. Roughly 3,800 unborn children are killed every day in America. And by the end of 2011, there were 54,559,615 abortions that had occurred in abortion clinics throughout America. In 1973, there were just fewer than 80,000 abortions that took place. That's amazing. At its highest point in 1990, abortions rose to just over 1.6 million, leveling off to just over 1.2 million in 2011. That's amazing. Absolutely amazing. So is 1973 then the time when abortion caused America to jump the shark morally? No, I don't think so. That was a result of America already having jumped the shark. I think the actual jump took place even prior to the abortion battle that culminated with the Supreme Court's ruling in favor of it, though the abortion situation here in America certainly didn't help. So when then? Events occurred prior to Roe v. Wade that made it acceptable in society to allow and even accept as right the slaughtering of unborn children. Did America jump the shark when the Supreme Court pushed God and the Ten Commandments and prayer out of schools? What we need to do is look closely at the events that occurred in this country and the situations that have reduced this nation's quality of life? Was it the decision on abortion, the elimination of the Ten Commandments, or was it something else altogether that caused America to begin to lose its moral high ground? Well, we're going to take some time, certainly in this series. We're going to start today, and then over the next few episodes, we're going to go back through numerous decades of America's past to see what we can learn. And the answer might surprise you. Now, in many ways, the decade of the 1950s in America highlighted a society that, by and large, was naive in their beliefs. Things were cool. Things were neato. And life was just swell. And this isn't to say that Americans were stupid. Far from it. Stupidity is not the same as naivete. At the time, though, Americans generally believed their government. They also believed that they had a lot to look forward to in life. It's important to point out, though, that no period of time in America or any other nation was perfect. There were problems in the 1950s. It was almost an idyllic outlook on life that made people believe that the best was yet to come. Let's just take a few moments in our remaining time here to look at some of the highlights of that period of time, along with the overall attitudes that permeated society then. That's going to tell us a lot. World War II had just recently ended in 1945, and hundreds of thousands of servicemen were returning to the United States to pick up life where they had left it. They wanted jobs, they wanted their own families, and they wanted good things that life had to offer. They had gotten so sick of seeing death and destruction, it was so much to last a lifetime, they wanted to move on. They returned home as heroes to a land that, for all practical purposes, was undiscovered territory. There was so much that was wide open to them, and they wanted to take advantage of it. Here's just a couple of important facts about the decade of the 50s. The population, according to the U.S. Department of Commerce, the Bureau of Census, was this: 151,684,000. That was the population. Unemployment, 3,288,000. Life expectancy for women, it was just over 71 years of age. For men, just over 65 years of age. Car sales, 6,665,800. That's how many cars were being sold in the 50s. Average salary, get this, $2,992 per year. That was the average salary. Labor force, male to female, 5 males to 2 females. Cost of a loaf of bread, 14 cents. There were bomb shelter plans, like the government pamphlet, You Can Survive, becoming widely available. Now, those are some interesting facts, but you might also be interested to know that gas then cost 20 cents per gallon. Mailing a first-class letter cost 3 cents. An average home would set you back about $18,000. And a T-bone steak could be purchased for 95 cents per pound. Now, of course, based on the average salary that I just noted, your money seemed to go much further than it does today because of inflation as well as the additional taxes that most of us pay to the government. The 1950s proved to be a time of real prosperity for most Americans. And now, besides these things, what were the 1950s like for the average American? Well, life was generally presented as cheerful, I guess for the lack of a better word. On television, a relatively new medium, shows like Lassie, Rin Tin Tin, Flipper, The Virginian, Disney's Zorro, I Remember Mama, I Love Lucy, The Dick Van Dyke Show, and many others, all of these reflected a positive outlook for Americans. Though these shows obviously dealt with problems, they always worked themselves out during the space of a particular episode. And these TV shows, along with many others, always portrayed the good guys as distinct from the bad guys. We knew who to root for and had no trouble discerning the good from the bad. There was always a general theme that was clearly morally upright, allowing Americans to use these as teaching moments for their kids. Well, that's our show for today. We're going to continue this because we've got a lot more to talk about on these eras. But until we meet again, I pray that God will open your eyes to show you how blessed you are.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.